Now, you don't need it everywhere. You just need it where you need it.
What? Like where? Like over here?
No. Just where you need it. Do you need it over there?
I don't know. Do you think I need it over there?
Well, that's not up to me. I'm not talking about where I need it. I'm talking about where you need it.
Well, I think I need it all over.
Well, that's a whole separate issue.
I don't think you brought enough.
You've tuned in to Two Blind Squirrels today. So sit right back and see what Brad and Chaz will say. This show's a lot better than a lot of things today. And here's just to name a few. It's better than camping through a week of rain.
It's better
than houseguests who are causing a strain.
It's better
than any cop asking you to explain.
It's better
than having to ask for a raise.
Two Blind Squirrels in the morning. Squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's alright.
And today on Two Blind Squirrels, we will discuss exactly how to ask for a raise.
Okay.
Okay.
Alright.
Good.
Two Blind Squirrels in the morning. Two Blind Squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's alright.
Now wait a minute. Wait. You just said we're going to learn how to ask for a raise?
Yes.
How? That's not what we talked about.
Yeah, that's it. Well, we're going to get that out of the way first.
Oh. Right.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Dear Lord, we ask that you just raise us up to a level of where we can glorify your name. We just lift ourselves up to you, Lord. Amen.
Oh, amen. Well, okay.
That's a surefire way to get a raise every time.
Is that our getting a raise?
That's right.
Is your microphone on by the chance? It's on?
Yeah, it's on.
Huh.
Am I not coming through? I don't sound like I'm coming through on my headphones either.
You don't sound like very loud. How's that better?
Yeah, that's a little better, yeah.
But it's not making you very big over here.
Well, turn my knob over there.
Sir.
Hello. Oh, there. I can hear myself now. How's that? Is that better?
Are you better now?
Yeah. Is my wave bigger?
Is it better here or here? Here?
It's not good.
Here?
Stop playing with my knobs!
Ow. Okay.
Is my wave big?
Yeah, when you scream like that, it is.
How about just when I talk?
Yeah, it looks good. That's okay.
All right, good.
Turn this down over here. It's blowing my eardrums out.
Yeah. Hello?
Hey. Okay. Ow.
See, the levelator will take care of that for everybody listening.
Yeah, you hope so.
But you're going to be ringing for a while.
Uh-huh. Sweet. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So what are we going to talk about? What?
Well, I think we should talk about... whether or not you should have atheist friends.
Atheist friends?
Yeah. And not necessarily atheist friends in particular. Just that's...
That's loud.
That makes
the music down.
That makes for, an extreme case sort of conversational piece. Because...
No, turn the music down.
I did turn the music down.
Okay.
Because, when it's all... When it's all said and done, I mean, there's varying degrees of people. You know, there's believers, and then there's non-believers. So you got two ends of the spectrum, and then you got everybody in between. I think. So we're still
yes.
So my point is that we use atheists as an extreme example, but this could apply to just about anybody.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
I gotcha.
Sorry. Bring it all back on. Back up.
Okay, so
lots of loud noises in this
show. I think that is impossible. It's impossible. It's near impossible. Near impossible to have if you're a committed Christian to have an atheist as a good friend. And you said,
I think that it's absolutely. I think it's absolutely required
to have an atheist as a good friend.
To have an atheist as a good friend, yes.
See, I think it's almost impossible. Not that you shouldn't be friendly to atheists, but that if you are a professing Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're either A, not going to be a good friend because you're going to be phony and fake,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to be a good friend and tell him what you really think and believe, and you're going to drive him away because he's not going to want to hear it.
Now, I don't pretend like that you're probably not going to have the atheist friend because he's not going – he or she – we'll say he since we're talking about guys, He's not going to be comfortable, you know? I mean, there's a certain level of strength on both sides.
Sure.
The Christians got to be strong enough in their faith to say, you know, hey, that's cool. You know, I'm going to love you no matter what.
Stop playing with your microphone. Sorry.
And the atheist is going to have to be comfortable enough in what he believes to say, you know, I like you, and I'm sorry you're wrong. You know, you don't believe right. And I don't know why I have a certain voice for an atheist. I'm sorry. Just sort of popped out there.
Never met an atheist with that accent,
but
it's a nice inflection.
But, you know, so it's a balance there between the two. But what I'm saying is that on the Christian side, for the most part, if we cling to Christianity, if we cling to our Christianity,
yes,
to try to preserve it,
yes,
to try to, you know, not to preserve Christianity or to defend Christianity, but to preserve ourselves to preserve our Christianity. Does that make sense? To preserve ourselves as Christians. To have this, you know, like this label or protecting our Christianity, then we push away people, we drive people away, we push them away with that very thing, which we're trying to tell them about, that our Christianity tells us that we're supposed to love everybody. So if we're pushing people away with it, then at what cost are we doing that?
I think that you must constantly reach out to people, and that there's always a context for which you do. In other words, at work, I have many friends who are I consider to be acquaintances or friends, whose context is, good grief, you turned me up there, whose context is work. You know, and I have other friends whose context is sports. So that I can carry on a conversation with this person under a sports context, mm-hmm. and very rarely broach any subjects that bring up my faith. Same way with work. I have people at work whom I converse with all day, mm-hmm. but whom rarely, in that context, it rarely brings up any elements of faith. However, when those elements are brought up, when we're sitting around doing nothing, or it's Christmas time, or whatever, and there's a casual conversation and some element of faith is brought up, mm-hmm. then it does tend to make everyone uncomfortable. So, because I will say the truth, I will say what I know to be the truth, because I believe the truth is convicting, and if I'm not pushing them away. Mm-hmm. I'm simply stating them the truth, and they're choosing to be pushed away or accept. I can't be anything other, because I as a committed Christian, have promised to tell the truth. And I'm not trying to push people away, but at the same time, I owe it to them to tell them the truth.
Yeah. Well, and we're called to proclaim the truth boldly. I mean, it's not something we should be ashamed of, and I don't think that we can even do it if we want to. I think the truth...
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll set you free that.
But I think, and when we were talking about this earlier, I think we were starting to get to a consensus, and in that there's a fine line between boldly proclaiming the truth and doing so in love of the other person,
mm-hmm.
and rubbing your belief in somebody else's face.
Mm-hmm. Well.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Christianese.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's one thing to give somebody an honest opinion, an honest spiritual answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to, you know, just bring up, you know, the fact that you were at church last week to bring up the fact that you were at church last week. You know, or
yeah. And I'm not really talking about the showboat Christian.
Okay.
I'm talking about. Doing something to the exclusion of others, or being so wrapped up in it that you actually wind up doing the opposite of it. You know,
give me an example.
A specific example is a while back.
Yeah,
there was a meeting, and not like a business meeting, but a group, a local organization, got together, and. A lot of the people, majority of the people at the meeting were Christian.
Okay.
However, not everybody at the meeting was Christian. And
was it a Christian meeting?
No.
Okay.
no, no, no. A lot of the members in the group are Christian.
Okay.
But it's not a Christian meeting per se.
Okay.
Okay. So, but someone at the meeting, you know, eventually got to the point where they said, to defend the purpose of the group, said, well, this is, you know, this is a Christian group, and we're all Christians here, right? So, you know, and then they went on to make their point. And the fact was that, no, there weren't all Christians in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But that person didn't take an inventory. You know, they looked around at the faces, and yeah, and in this town, you know pretty much who's who. You know faces, and if you don't know somebody, then you don't know
about. But you don't know their heart.
No, you don't know their heart. But I'm just saying, if you don't know their face, and you don't know their heart, then don't rear your Christian claws.
You Christian claws.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard one because, basically anytime you're in a room with a bunch of people,
mm-hmm.
even if you're at church, even if you're at a Christian meeting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can guarantee you somebody in there ain't a Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least they're not a committed Christian.
Yeah.
And, oh boy, we get into a big doctrine discussion there, but let's skip it for now. Let's just say that there's going to be somebody in that room who is not a saved Christian, mm-hmm. not a Christian. And you get into this thing where you want to hold your brothers and sisters. We're told to hold our brothers and sisters to a standard, and to but at the same time, you want to do that in a way that projects love. I mean, hopefully, even if they walked in on a deacon's meeting where some deacon's getting thrown out of the church or not thrown out of the church, but put under disciplinary action, that a non-Christian would be able to view that meeting and go, wow, they really care about that person, even though they were disciplining them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we keep that in mind.
Well, and that's kind of part of what I'm talking about is being able to be friends with the atheist. You know, friends in that, you know, you don't agree with that person, but you still love that person. You know, you still have, and you don't have to have. You're talking about the discussions that make people uncomfortable. You know. At least in my mind, it's not about theological discussions. It's not about debating points and all that kind of stuff like that. And, you know, it says in the Bible that they will know us by our
fruit.
Yeah, by our fruit, by our deeds, by our work,
fruity.
By our who we are, how we conduct ourselves.
Right.
You know, and I'm just saying that there are. You know, gaining the whole world at the expense of pushing someone away mm-hmm. is no good.
True, true, true. Yeah, like I said, it's a tough one. But
yeah, yeah.
I think it could have been handled properly by saying, "Hey, this group is expounded by or governed mm-hmm. by Christian values. Let's mm-hmm. look at those Christian values and make our decision based on those principles, and not get into, hey, we're all Christians here. Now let's just pull it together."
Yeah,
I mean, there's that. That's that subtle difference I was talking about.
Yeah,
about saying we're going to govern this group by Christian values,
mm-hmm.
and so let's look at those and guide our and use those principles to make our decision.
Yeah,
and then you're an example to anybody who's there who's not a Christian.
Right. Well, yeah.
But saying, hey, we're all Christians and we should act this way, and if you're not going to, then you're not in line. That doesn't help. That doesn't help anybody, and it certainly is a bad example for any non-Christian that happened to be in the room, even if they say they are a Christian. Mm-hmm. I can bet you that there were more than one non-Christian in that room.
Yeah.
But anyway, Thomas Jefferson said he was a Christian, but he didn't believe in Christ. So, you've got a bunch of mixed up people out there, and
yeah,
we need to watch ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that Jesus really, he didn't go in pushing people around, he didn't go in there. I mean, his whole thing was to show love to everybody, and you have to think that everybody in his day was much more bent on, much more bent on doing whatever they felt like or whatever served their purpose than we are today.
Well, he was, he did push people around, and he was confrontational, and he was in your face with a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, it wasn't the atheist. It wasn't the lowly people. Mm-hmm. The lowly people, he was very loving, and he was very kind. But with those people who were abusing his name, mm-hmm. the hypocrites of the day, the people who were pretending to be something they weren't, and specifically there, talking about the Pharisees and the
Sadducees.
He was very brutal,
calling them vipers and all that kind of
stuff. Right, right. And so there you go.
Yeah, okay, so he pushed them around.
He pushed them
around. I wasn't thinking of...
But that's what I'm saying, is he was the toughest with those hypocrites, with the same person who was standing up in front of the room saying, hey, we're all Christians here, let's get it straight. I mean, that's the kind of person Jesus would come and go, hey, sit down.
Yeah. Sit down before you hate yourself.
Exactly. So, like I said, we need to be careful. We need to be careful all the time. We need to treat each other like Christians, and we need to,
Yeah.
You know what? T.S. Lewis said it this way. It's easy, okay? Mm-hmm. It's easy to be something you're not when everything is going smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the example he used it, but he said, it's easy to pretend you're a Christian mm-hmm. when everything's going your way.
Sure, you're not hungry, you're not tired, you're not sick, you're not, yeah.
But in persecution or in times of trouble, your true colors come out.
Right.
I can control my anger if I have time to control it.
Right. It's true.
But who I really am is going to come out when somebody's pushed me when I wasn't looking.
Yeah. And I know I've had my days where I'm like, you know what? I'm just tired of I'm tired of everybody. and this is the way I see it, and either on board or you're not. I've had those days. We've recorded those podcasts. I mean, I can go back and play them for you, but
I've never lost it.
But there's a balance there. Having been there, it's got to be a balance between that and destroying something in order to preserve it.
Do not sin in your anger.
It's like picking all the rose petals off the rose because you think it's pretty or something, or you want to save it, or you want to, You're like,
destroy it. Spending 90% of your wedding taking pictures, trying to remember the day, when all you can remember about the day is posing for pictures.
Yeah. That's right.
Craziness. So remember that out there, and keep that in mind, especially when you're mad at other Christians.
Yeah.
Or when you're trying to resolve a problem. And when you're taking for granted that everybody in the room is of like mind. Because they're not. And you need to be sure that you are.
Yeah. I listened to this thing on KERA the other day. It was had this rabbi on there, and he was talking about he wrote a book, and he was...
Oh, wait, I know this joke.
He was talking this book. Yeah. No. He was selling his book, and one of the things that he was talking about, and I'm not even going to try to quote the man, but one of the things that he was talking about was the fact that anybody who thinks that they've got all the answers,
mm-hmm.
they need to be very careful, because they've reached a point where, if they think they have it all figured out, they got it all worked out, well, they don't. Mm-hmm. You don't have it all worked out. As soon as you think you're absolutely in the right, you're probably wrong. So, I think that's pretty good advice.
That is good advice. That's good advice.
Yeah. Hey there, boys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Buford. What is going on, man?
Oh, man. I tell you what. I was listening to my cousin. My cousins come over, when they're sitting there in the backyard having a good time. I think one of them 10, others like 9.5, something like that, and they sitting back here, just having a good time, shooting a cat with a BB gun and everything, and chatting it up. And I was over there whittling on a piece of wood. They weren't paying no attention to me. Well, they're from, one of them's from my mama's third husband's sister, and then the other one is from the other side of the family. Anyway, it's like my dad's ex-wife's brother's cousin's kid.
Okay.
Anyway,
quite a lineage you have.
Well, he got remarried there. His name was Larry, and he got remarried. He married a Catholic, and they had to join the Catholic Church and everything like that, And So this kid's been raised pretty much Catholic. And the other boy over there, well, he was Baptist, you know. Jacob was Baptist. And Larry Jr. is Catholic. And, well, anyway, they got to talking because they were trying to figure out, well, what's the difference, you know.
Yeah.
And they immediately, you know, came about, well, you know, I get dunked and I get sprinkled. And they said, well, what difference does that make, you know. It didn't make no difference to them. And he says, if your pastor has a problem, if you got a problem, who do you go talk to? That's what he said. And Larry Jr. said, well, I go talk to the priest. And Jacob said, well, if your priest has got a problem, then who does he go talk to? He said, well, he go talk to the bishop. He says, oh. He said, well, if the bishop's got a problem, then who does he go talk to? He says, well, he goes talk to the cardinal. And he says, really? He says, well, if the cardinal's got a problem, who's he go talk to? He says, oh, the archdiocese. He says, well, if the archdiocese has a problem, who's he go talk to? And he says, oh, he goes directly to the Pope. Well, that's amazing, but I got one more question for you. If the Pope's got a problem, who does he talk to? Well, he can talk directly to God. And Jacob says, well, there you go. The Pope's Baptist. And then they just continued to play, and the cat ran off while they was talking, though. So they started shooting a BB gun at me and everything. But anyway, so I just thought I'd share that with you. Such a cute story, kids, you know, trying to make sense of the world around them and everything.
Yeah, it is a cute story. That is a cute story. I like that.
But they, you know what I'm saying is they were friends. They discussed their differences and just went on about their business.
Oh, I see that. Here's the tie-in. That's
except
good.
They were shooting me with a BB gun and everything.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to have a common bond. Gotta have a common bond.
And a common bond and a bag of BBs. Hey, listen, you got some lotion?
Not with me.
I got a rash.
I don't think I have any lotion for that.
This BB gave me a rash. It whelps on me, and I thought maybe...
Go back there in the back, in the back, the guest bathroom.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, in the drawer to the left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it was a cute story.
That's where I keep the icy hot.
Did you say on the right?
No, on the left, at the bottom.
Okay, because that drawer on the right's got other stuff in it.
No, that's it. Just put that on there. You'll be
on
all right.
On the left.
On the left.
This tube right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't. That's so. Anyway, did you have anything more to add? Or?
No, I think that's good.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Holy crap! That burns. Oh, what kind of stuff is this anyway? It's supposed to make it feel better.
It will. It will. Give it 20 minutes.
Ow!
You're so mean to him.
He deserves it.
Well, that may be true.
That's good stuff right there.
I've counted to 10 and it still hurts. By golly, I never heard such a... I'd rather be shot by the BB gun again.
Yeah, it's a little funny. Okay. So
you and Faith are going to record shows tomorrow, right?
That's the plan.
Yeah.
That's the plan. Will you be hearing from me and Faith tomorrow?
What are you going to talk about? You're right on the spot.
Put me right on there.
Wow.
Well, if you want to know, I actually have. I can tell you.
Well, that's what I asked. That's why I, you know.
If you really want to know.
I do want to know because, you know, I'm going to be tuning in to hear what you guys got to say.
Oh,
so.
You're not listening, are you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, sure.
Oh, bugger.
Yeah. We got to pump up our numbers. You know, get us. We had 203 of subscribers the other day.
I know. Isn't it awesome? Welcome, everybody.
Yeah, that was awesome. Today we had it dropped down to 188 today.
What?
You know, they fluctuate because you have people can subscribe. Well, see, people can subscribe, but that doesn't mean that they show up every day.
Oh.
So when you see that number on the blog, that means that's how many people showed up for that day.
You name this show.
Which we're pretty strong because we're.
You name this show How to Get a Raise, and that will guarantee that we get the.
We get a lot of. It's a New Year sort of thing.
10
ways to get a raise.
Let's see here. We're going to talk about The View.
You're making this up, aren't you?
No, no. I'm trying to decipher this email. The View. I'm trying to remember. She saw this on The View.
Oh, no. We're doing chick stuff now.
Well, it's... it... There you go.
Go turn in on Oprah.
Bring a girl in.
Go turn in on Oprah hour.
They were talking about faith and church, and then they were talking about... And then the very next segment after that, they brought a lesbian on, and they were talking about that, you know, and it's
wow,
like,
that's quite a lineup.
And so anyway, she wants to talk about how we live like Paul in this crazy world where we got to go from one thing to the other so quickly, and she just wants to kind of think
okay,
about that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
And
I won't be doing it, but that's going to be
good. Specifically, how do we live a righteous life and still be approachable?
Huh.
You know, like you were saying, pushing people away versus sort of the same kind of thing.
And it's a fine line to tread because there's times when you're like, you know what, I don't want to get involved in this conversation, but but
well, it's so weird. You know, I'm reading this book called Pursuit of Holiness.
Yeah.
And you get focused on that, and then the next thing you know, it's like, when was the last time you actually spoke to somebody in the hall?
Yeah.
You know, because you're, you know, so there's this balance, you say, you know, like you're saying.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be hanging out at the stripper bars, but you are supposed to be, you know, go where they is.
I can't hang out in the stripper bars anymore?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No.
I got Christian spam.
Christian spam.
I got Christian spam.
Oh, I need to look that up.
I got Christian spam today.
How'd you get Christian spam?
On the website, on the forum, in the community at myLifeMinistries.org. We got somebody went to all the trouble to sign up for the forum, right? And they get in, and they get on, and all they do is create one post about some new artist that they, you know, and it's very obvious that it's...
Well, you know, we have not had any spam.
Mm-hmm.
In quite a while.
It's been a long time.
We threw up the with the captures and the things and the stuff and the man. There hasn't been
good job, Chaz.
Well, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying it's been solid. It's been good.
Pat you right down.
I'm just now realizing, you know, hey,
it has been good. But this is Christian spam. I mean, this guy actually signed on. He said, he says, well, I've been looking for new artists lately to listen to, and I stumbled across, and he lists the guy's name. I think he's awesome. I think he's an awesome Christian artist. He has a lot of talent. I especially like his new song, and he names the new song, which will be on his upcoming album, and he names the new album.
Could you?
Which will be released on February the 5th. Check out his music and get back to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you're not going to be anywhere around to get back to.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I like your stuff.
Yeah, thanks for passing by, goober.
Well, don't call him a goober, just in case he is a legitimate person.
He's probably a legitimate person, but he's a goober with Christian spam.
Oh, you think he's...
You can only do that on Fridays.
If he comes back...
You can only Christian spam people on Fridays. I think that's a Catholic rule.
Why is that?
What?
Why?
I don't know. Something about pork and Fridays. I don't know.
Pork and Fridays. Okay.
Hey, you were going to look up nakedspam.com or something.
Yep. I'm looking it up right now.
Because he had this great idea.
It's taken.
Duh!
Naked spam is taken.
He had this great idea where he'd take spam and like out of a can and just put it on a plate so that it was still all in its shape and everything, and then he would take a picture of that.
I tell you what, we could do a whole podcast over just, okay, think up something.
Yeah.
Naked spam.
Sometimes we'll just drive home and look up names.
Yeah. We did that one night. We got stuck in traffic.
Oh,
and
it was
we,
like a three-hour trip home.
We must have spent 3 hours looking up domain names.
Yeah. It was forever.
Yeah.
That's how sad our life is. Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us. I've milked this show long enough. I love dead air.
It's crunchy.
See, that's where you're supposed to say something.
I'm supposed to say something? What am I supposed to say?
Oh, you know what?
You don't have any music loaded?
I did. What's going on?
Oh, now.
Here, let me drag it over.
Oh, now?
Let me reload. Oh, now?
Well, I want you to know I worked on the the newsletter.
Oh, good.
Because I want to put put one out for January.
Okay. Well, you've got about a week left.
I know. So I worked on it today. It might be only one. Might be only one page. But
well, that's what you said you wanted to do. You want to do one page.
Yeah.
All news.
Yep. So look for that. I'm gonna.
And if you
send it out to the email list, and then I'll post it on the website.
And if you just can't stand not having Brad and Chaz in your ears, you can go check out our new show at carbuyingprinciples.com, where we will be there. You know, pretty much every. I don't think we're going to be there every day right off the bat.
No.
But there'll be a couple of new shows over there, you know, this week, and also, thank you, Skeeter. Also, you can check out the videos.
Oh yeah,
yeah, the videos.
Token Toyota.
So you can check out that, and so there's plenty of ways to get Brad and Chaz on a semi daily basis.
Yes. Very good.
All right. And we'll have a new name. We haven't quite decided on the new name. We're still doing a little research. We're pretty excited about this new show, though. So check that out. And I will talk at you tomorrow.
See you next week.
Okay. Bios condias, everybody. Oh, wait. We had a new one. What was the new one? Oh, yeah. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground.
Have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.